right. This is Sarah Schmidt, and I'm interviewing Kristen Branscombe for the Kentucky 225 Oral History Project. It is February the 16th, and the first question I want to ask you is about your role as the commissioner. What are your responsibilities as commissioner?
My job is to sell Kentucky. That's what we do at the Department of Tourism. We sell and promote our great state. The most fantastic thing is there's plenty of things that it's a great thing to sell, so it makes it easy. But, you know, kind of on a more day-to-day basis, you know, we do the marketing, the advertising, whoever outside of our borders, and sometimes inside our borders will see our print ads or television ads, digital ads. We talk to media. We everything that we can do to get people from out of state, you know, other continents, anywhere around the world, to come to Kentucky and spend their time here. And we are an economic development engine. Tourism's a $14.5 billion industry. So we create tax revenues, but we also change the perceptions that people have of Kentucky. So I think we are the most public-facing agency in state government with the general consumer.
Okay. And what was your path to this position? What led you to this position in state government? How'd you get there?
It was not a direct path. I thought getting out of college that I wanted to coach basketball and teach high school English. I actually had my master's in secondary English education. I did that, but I also wanted to be involved in sports management. So I had my master's in sports administration from the University of Kentucky, started working with the athletic department. First job out of school was assistant director of marketing for UK Athletics. Started working there, and then at the time, Jim Host was named Secretary of the Commerce Cabinet, and they wanted to start the Kentucky Sports Authority. I worked with him while at UK Athletics. He asked if I wanted to come to state government, came to state government, worked for tourism, and fell in love with it. Worked for tourism, the Department of Tourism and Development for 4 years, worked with agritourism and Grape and Wine Council. We started that. We did create the Kentucky Sports Authority. I thought for some crazy reason I needed to manage people and figure out how to do that. Left for the Department of Agriculture, worked there for 8 years. The last 4 years I was executive director of marketing, so over the Kentucky Proud program. So this has always been my passion to come back to tourism, and then I had that opportunity in 2016.
Tell us about the commission, the 225 commission specifically. This sort of happened in the transition between two administrations. How did you learn about it, and how did you end up taking sort of, from what the other commissioners have told me or the other folks involved, that you took a leadership position in that and helped sort of, you know, get something that was unfunded and maybe didn't have a champion off the ground, so.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we sometimes see with legislation. You know, it's a very worthwhile project, but they never include money with it. So we were kind of tasked, you know, it was created. I think a lot of people that were involved with the Bicentennial, they really wanted for us to get on the 225. And everybody was appointed. We had to have a meeting. And everybody was kind of like, well, what do we do now? And we had kind of, I don't know how it happened. It happened very quickly. I had one of the senators say we're taking nominations. I was nominated. Another one said nominations are closed. So it happened pretty quick. But at the time, I kind of like, what just happened? But I'm so glad that it did. And the more, you know, it was really great because a lot of the people that were on the commission were our sister agencies within the cabinet. And it's very difficult sometimes when you're doing day-to-day stuff and all of our agencies that we forget that we all exist out there and that we all have the same mission in some form or fashion, you know, to promote Kentucky and to educate Kentuckians and educate the world about what we have here, you know, from top to bottom all 225 years. And it made us work together. Especially when you have no money, you figure out how do we make this work however we can make it work. So that's kind of how it started, is maybe a little bumpy at first of all of us kind of looking around going, okay, how do we do this? In some respects, maybe like how do we check the box and like do this? And then we realize, man, this is a lot of opportunity. And I think Kentuckians are proud in a good way to be from Kentucky. And that propelled everyone to get involved, try to see what we can do to make this work and then the general public bought into that.
So what were some of the specific events and activities from your agency?
We determined, because we market to the international visitor, and just so happened we were talking to our agency in London, and they were like, we need everything that's going on next year. Europeans and most international visitors, they love anniversaries, or it's the 50th anniversary of this, or the 225 was perfect. And we're like, okay, well, 225. We'll talk about 225. So we kind of started that with the international visitor, just saying this is our 225 years, and kind of throwing out those Kentucky factoids. That moved into, okay, well, what, it's kind of a challenge. What else could we do? So we created the 225 website. We worked with the Historical Society and others for your 225 things you need to do in Kentucky this year, and quite frankly, every year. That bucket list, we put that on the website. We also kind of went out a little bit. We thought, let's do something big and something that we can get into some national print publications. So we worked with Garden and Gun magazine, and we hosted a celebration of 225 years in Kentucky at Gainesway Farm. And that was in the print guide. We had three different editions it was in the website. The dinner was awesome. We had all local Kentucky proud foods. Weta Michael was the chef. We had Kentucky Entertainment, Ben Soleil, the Watson Twins. So it was just kind of lovely celebration on a horse farm, Kentucky food. It was just everything quintessential Kentucky. That was probably the biggest one that we really tackled. And every time we had an opportunity, whether it was free digital advertising or you know, we had a bonus page ad, we developed 225 ads to help mm-hmm. people recognize that, okay, there's something going on in Kentucky this year.
Sure. How did you get Garden and Gun involved in that? Because that's kind of a big fish.
That is a big fish, and you can catch big fish with Bunny. So we did use some of our advertising money, because we would have advertised in there anyway. We just leveraged the print buy and the digital buy to kind of, we put some money in for the event, but we leveraged our other advertising buy to get the event. And they caught on to that.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the brand, the logo. How was that chosen? Because that became kind of something, I know especially the Kentucky Historical Society latched onto and really festooned the whole building, and they're still up. So how was that determined?
In marketing, you've got to have a good brand or a good logo or a stamp or whatever you would like to call it, so people can recognize it and get behind it. And everybody loves some merchandise with a logo that they can get behind. But that was actually another joint partnership. The designer actually that worked for the Historical Society at the time kind of for free, kind of volunteered her time, had two or three different concepts for the 225 Commission to look at. That's sometimes a really bad thing when you have a lot of different opinions on a logo, but they liked a logo additional, or right at the first, decided maybe we need to do this or this, but then they came back around to the first choice. Mm-hmm. So we wanted something classic, something that kind of invoked that prestige of, of Kentucky and 225 years, and kind of gave it that acknowledgement, but also something that could be on, a little bit more casual as well, but keeping with the blue of our state flag, with the gold for the goldenrod, which is also in the state flag colors, but just kind of kept with that. So something that was recognizable, and we also wanted to have the ability for it to be cross-promoted. There was actually the Chamber of Commerce representative was a Jim Beam executive, and he also helped get the 225 logo on some special edition bourbon bottles. So he looked at it from that perspective, too, of how can we put this on bourbon bottles or T-shirts or pins. So,
okay. One thing I want to ask about is the kickoff. I know that normally whenever you do a year of this or a celebration of that, there's some type of event that you ends up being the kickoff for the year. Can you tell me a little bit about how you debuted this concept?
The Historical Society had a huge day. I think there was, I don't know how many people ended up coming through, but tons of people in downtown Frankfort coming to the History Center. We also did a kickoff in Danville. They wanted to, right there on the square, they wanted to kick it off, and the whole community kind of took hold of that, and they had bluegrass band, they had all their elected officials, there was a lot of press that came down, so that was kind of a kickoff as well. That evening on June 1st, 1792 bourbon, that distillery, of course, 1792, that's kind of a perfect fit for bourbon. Although it was one particular distillery, they invited several members from the other distilleries as well to come over. And so we kind of had another little toast to Kentucky that night with our native spirit. And it was just kind of it was a big day. And those were just the events that we kind of went to. Downtown Lexington had an event with their Thursday Night Live. They had 225 cupcakes. And different communities, they had cutouts of 225, so like little Instagram posts of the 225. So all these different communities, because we had no money, we couldn't put on an event that was the official kickoff. Like, it would have been fantastic to do it at the Capitol or, you know, kind of blow it out in one big state event, and that's the one. But I think it turned out better because everybody took their kind of view of the 225 and kind of community event took it on.
Okay. Amy told me to ask you about Wayne in the cake.
Yeah. So, in October of 2016, we wanted to get the entire tourism industry excited about the 225 and let them know that this is happening. We don't have any money for it yet, but, you know, we want you to use the logo, and we created a teaser video that they could use to take to their Rotary clubs or Lions Club or whoever they would like, or use it on their website. So I have a staff member that can sing, and I thought, okay, well, you know, sometimes when you tell these things, we don't have money for you, people aren't excited. So we rented a surprise cake, a fake wooden cake. I put Wayne in the cake and put a Abraham Lincoln beard and hat on him. And so they rolled him out, and he hopped out and sang Happy Birthday to Kentucky. So that kind of set the stage of, let's make this fun, let's make this a celebration, and we can all get involved. And
sure.
Even if you have to jump out of a cake, you can be involved.
Yeah, and I think it probably gave communities the idea that, well, this is a tourism initiative, this is a state government legislated initiative, but this is something that we can make our own, too, because they did it. Because the one thing that I always try to, you know, people can't see Wayne when they listen to this, but Wayne is not an Abraham Lincoln body type, I wouldn't say.
No, I think that is very fair.
But I think that makes it even more interesting.
Yeah.
So
just so everybody can get involved.
Right.
No, I think what, to your point, is kind of interesting. I think we all forgot that it was an unfunded mandate, in a way. You know, everybody all of a sudden was like, oh, yeah, we were kind of like, oh, we don't have to go to a meeting, there's no money, what are we going to do? And we're like, every meeting became exciting, which is something for a meeting to be exciting, because we're like, okay, well, what can we do? How are we going to do this? And we forgot that we were kind of, forced is a really bad word, but there was another impetus behind that. It wasn't just out of the goodness of our hearts, but that was forgotten, and I think that's kind of indicative of Kentuckians too, just get in, get it done, and then do it and be good at it.
Right. Yeah, don't lament what is not perfect about this. Let's just go ahead and
right.
do this.
Let's just do it.
So if you think of anything else to add about 225 Commission activities, feel free to interject, but I also want to talk to you a little bit about what's next. I know that in March you have another campaign for the rest of the year that you're going to kick off. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, there's a lot of states that are, I would say, culinary destinations, right? You go to New Orleans and you've got to have a beignet. You go to maybe South Carolina, you're going to have shrimp and grits. You're going to have something peachy in Georgia. Mm-hmm. But we have Kentucky Fried Chicken. But as I travel the state, there's so much more than just fried chicken or a hot brown. And there are certain parts of the state, like where I'm from, you don't really want to order a hot brown because it may not be the best tasting hot brown you've ever had. But there are stories, and there's the producers, the agricultural connection to the food we make, and the stories of why we eat this, that, or the other in these certain regions of the state. And I think that's what makes Kentucky unique, is you can go to any part of our state and have this culinary experience. Maybe you go to this local restaurant. It may not be fine dining. It could just be that corner cafe, but they're going to have the farm that they got the food from. They've got the people that are producing it. So you can go visit there. You can go pick up the food. You can go pick your own. So we wanted to tell people we have a food story. We are a culinary destination. You just don't know about it yet. And so that's why we took really a whole year to gather those stories, gather those assets for us to launch in March of 2018. So that was kind of the main driver of food is 77% of everyone's top three things when they're determining a trip. So we wanted to be included when they think, I need to go somewhere where they have interesting food. You've got to think Kentucky. But we need to tell them, you've got to think that. If you don't like fried chicken, we've got more for you. I love fried chicken, but, you know, we've got more than that. So we developed those assets. We want people to either come to Kentucky for that reason or extend their trip for that culinary tourism aspect. So we're launching the Year of Food. That's kind of everything is our main driver. Our visitor's guide has a food spread on the front. We have regional meals. We market the state in 9 regions. We have 9 different meals that have a story behind them of why people in that region eat that particular item from that meal. So that was kind of what we wanted to do, is really tell Kentucky's story through food.
Okay. And what do you think? Do you think that the legacy of the 225 Commission, kind of tying it into the next chapter that's going to happen, do you think that there's a legacy of those entities and state government working together?
Yes, I believe so, and I think it's one of those things, like, I don't want to liken it to, you know, it was a battle and we all had to, like, get through it together, because it wasn't that, but we all banded together, and, like, I think once you go through a project, you know, ups and downs, and I think the 225 was successful. Once you're through that, like, you can't really shake other people. You know, they're kind of yours for life. So I think that's a good thing, especially in times of, you know, financial hardships, really, for the state. You know, we're losing people, we're losing funds. We've got to find ways to be creative. So I think the 225, in a way, prepared us as a cabinet and the agencies within it. Maybe how do we get this done? How do we still service the state and do the great things, but kind of do it together? So I don't know. It is interesting, but I think that we certainly will work better together in the future.
Yeah. Do you think there's any ways that those relationships are going to manifest in the next chapter with the culinary, the Year of Food in Kentucky?
Oh, absolutely. They already have. You know, and because everybody's got to eat, you know, whether you think you're a foodie or not, you got to eat somewhere. And so we're just going to tell you, here are all the great places to eat, whether it's our culinary tourism through art, whether it's the history of our culinary and what we do, and which also ties to our agrarian roots. Yeah, there's just, I mean, it's top to bottom. And state parks, they are going to at least one park in every region. They're going to start off small. I think it's going to be like special event, but hopefully grow into having these regional meals on their menus. So I'm pretty positive it's going to happen, that you can go in and have a regional meal in like all of the state park restaurants. And then we're going to help them provide with the assets. So here's the story behind this. Here's why they eat soup, beans, and cornbread in eastern Kentucky. Here's why, you know, fish is here, or barbecue here. Here's the story behind it, so people will become interested in it, whether it's locals or visitors, and then keep coming back.
We can go back to 225, and we can go back to the Year of Food, but we're going to transition now into asking you the questions that we asked on our listening tour at the Kentucky Historical Society. And the first one we asked was, to you, what makes Kentucky, Kentucky? That's something to be proud of.
Wow. I should have had a cheat sheet.
You can take a moment. Well, and I wanted to ask you, too, where are you originally from?
Russell County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I think what I have seen, I think what we should be most proud of, and what I'm proud of, and what makes Kentucky, Kentucky, are its people. And I know that may be a, I don't think it's a cop-out answer, because I think I like to say we're the front porch to the South, because we're not that deep South that sometimes is maybe a little syrupy and like a little sweet, and sometimes it feels a little put on. I'm not, I love all my Southern friends, but you know, sometimes there's the perception that maybe it's a little act. Then, you know, I think we've got those Midwest values. So we're kind of like at this perfect place of Midwest values, Southern hospitality, and I think Kentuckians are the most genuine people I've ever met anywhere in this whole world. You know where you stand with most Kentuckians, and they don't care to tell you that if they love you, they're upset with you. You know where you stand at all given times, but they're so sincere, and that's what, from a tourism perspective, that's what sells. Is when people come to Kentucky, they meet Kentuckians, they fall in love, and I think everybody that comes here leaves as family. You know, especially going back to the bourbon, I love people talking about, we'll have writers in, you know, media from across the country. They'll come in and they're meeting somebody and they're like, well, what are y'all doing tonight? Just come on, won't you come on over? I've got this bottle of bourbon I'll share with you, or we're having a barbecue. You know, people don't invite people to their houses like that, you know? And they're like, is this for real? Like, are people, but, you know, and people have these relationships with practically strangers. So, I don't know, I just think Kentuckians are resilient. They're proud in the best way, not the prideful way, and I think they genuinely care in their roots. They care about the land, they care about Kentuckians, they care about people, they care about guests. They really want, I don't know, I just think they're hopeful, and I don't think you see that maybe. I mean, they're not out being like Pollyanna, but I just think that they just keep going because they hope for something better. And they're not hard to work for that. They're going to work hard for, they're not afraid of that hard work.
So that's a good segue into the second question, is what to you makes Kentucky, Kentucky, that maybe we're not so proud of? What are our challenges as a state?
I would say our biggest challenge, there's a lot of challenges that face Kentucky, but face, you know, the country, the world. But even though we do have pride, I think we sell ourselves short because we don't think we're good enough, because it's all tied into perceptions. I think people have bad perceptions of Kentucky. They either have no perception or a negative one because of some stereotype that just gets stuck in people's head. So that perception that's out there makes us feel inferior. It's kind of like your siblings. You love them, and you'll fight with them, but nobody ever better talk bad about your brother or sister, or you will go after somebody. You know, it's kind of that thing, I think, with Kentuckians, is we're prideful that way, but we need to start realizing that we are good, and we are better than whatever, not everybody, but what we hear as that stereotype. And so we don't need to sell ourselves short. In agriculture, I see that a lot with producers and farmers. You know, they want to make the product, and basically, farmers just want to farm. They don't want to sell it. They don't want to market it. So they'll maybe sell that corn or those eggs for much cheaper than they should. And it's just kind of that, oh, well, I just don't want to put somebody out. Like, I don't want to ask for what it's worth. And I think that goes back to a little bit of that inferiority complex that we have. So, but again, back to those perceptions. So that's what we've got to change. And I think through tourism, that is what we can and we will change.
And what would you, let's not think as far as 225 years from now, but maybe in the next 20 years from now, what would be your vision for Kentucky? What would you like Kentucky to look like and feel like and be like?
I truly believe, and I'm not just saying this because it's part of my job, is I truly believe Kentucky is at a point in history where I think things are going to turn around for us in a big way. I believe that because from a tourism perspective, people are just finding out about Kentucky. We're this odd, like, little curiosity. They don't know much about us. They kind of just think, okay, we're somewhere in the middle there, and you're kind of Southern. We don't really know. But we've got this, I don't want to say swagger. It's more of a lifestyle. It's kind of that suburban horse kind of lifestyle, and they find that intriguing. They don't realize that we've got tremendous amount of culture in this state. I believe that's, they just don't know that. So I think in 20, 25 years, whatever it will be, I think we'll realize that this is the turning point in Kentucky where people start giving us respect as a culture, as Kentuckians, as a state. And they start saying, that's a place I want to visit. That's a place I'm going to go spend my money. Once they get here, all of our research has shown that people are, like, the percentages are crazy. How many are more inclined to buy a vacation home here, to move here, to start a business here? So I think once we start changing those perceptions here in the next 2 to 5 years, people are going to come here, move here, develop here, invest money here. And I think our economy is going to change. Our inferiority complex that we have, I think, is going to change. And that perception of Kentucky is going to change. And when people think, what's a top tier, even if we're just talking regionally in the South, what's the state you go to? I think a lot of people think about Atlanta. You know, that's a big hub, or maybe Charlotte. I think they're going to start saying, Kentucky is it. Kentucky is the most beautiful place we've ever been. They've got the best people. That's where we want to live. It's where we want to invest our dollars and build our businesses.
Okay. Those are all the official questions that we have. Okay. But if you would like to add anything about the commission and its legacy, any final thoughts about that?
I think everybody on the commission is very proud of their work to really kind of make something from nothing. And I still see several of the commission members that aren't in state government, whether they're from the Chamber of Commerce or KET, and those relationships have continued to build. And, you know, they come back and say, can we do this? Can we partner here? So I think it goes, but we're all going to be closer knit, work together, and I think the legacy of the commission will be all of the great things that we're going to do in the future together. I don't know. It was a really fun time, and an unexpectedly fun and rewarding time professionally.
Okay. Thank you.